What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You're hearing a lot more talk about mental health and the need for care and treatment these days, but are we doing enough about it? Do enough people who need help know how to find it? Well, this weekend, we're going to talk with a couple of people who can answer some of those questions. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. Last month was Mental Health Awareness Month. That was probably a busy time for my first guest. Alexa James is the executive director of NAMI Chicago. That's the local chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. She's one of this area's leading advocates for mental health equity and treatment. And she's been a guest on this program before. And Alexa James, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Well, we thank you. NAMI has expanded under your leadership, and we're going to talk about some of the things that NAMI Chicago is doing. But first, I want to talk about how well, government and the healthcare system are doing addressing the challenges. So are we okay?
No, we are so far from okay, Craig. So far from okay. We have this convergence of many factors where I think we could all agree, no matter where you kind of sit on any type of political or social issue, that we're not a really well society right now. We're aggravated, agitated, polarized, depressed, anxious, very high stress, very low resilience. And then, we have systems of care that are not accessible and prohibitive, really. And then when folks do get services, sometimes they're incredibly beneficial and recovery is possible. And other times people feel more injured because of the way that they were treated. So while I think that there have been progress made socially around stigma, around conversations, legislation, buy-in champions, we absolutely are not matching even close to the level of investment that we need in a mental health system in our country, in our city, in our state, et cetera.
And I do want to talk about the investment part, but I'm also very curious about the parts where the care can sometimes aggravate the pain that people are feeling. Mm-hmm. What are the things that aren't being done right?
So sometimes it's easier to kind of illustrate a story, right? Because the last thing we want to do is scare people away from seeking treatment, or that's not what I want to do. And treatment, when quality and when caring and when healing centered, can be really effective. But imagine you're having the worst moment of your life and you feel isolated and you feel hopeless and maybe you don't want to be on this earth anymore. And our response in the system is to take you away from anything that you know that's familiar and lock you into a hospital, right? I mean, that is the activation of crisis safety in many ways. And that's pretty scary for folks who have never touched a hospital system, whose families don't understand what that means, if visiting hours are different. I think my point here is that it's not at all parallel to any other chronic health condition where you can be with somebody and sit with them and understand. There's almost a criminalization that happens to folks when they are experiencing some type of psychiatric crisis. And I think it can be incredibly harmful so that folks want don't actually then follow up with and go back for mental health treatment and care on an ongoing basis. We know that what works is what many of our community partners are doing, which is the le a least restrictive intervention, community-based care. We don't have to always remove somebody to get them well. In fact, what we really should be spending time on is integrating that community and resourcing their community, their family, their neighborhood, their school, whatever it is, their office, to make sure they have adequate support, resources, and information. We split in this country. We take people away. So that's what I mean by the harm. And then in terms of quality, insurance has really held the kind of the ticket for how we're measuring quality. So many clinicians now are not even taking insurance because the reimbursement rates are so low. There was legislation this session that was trying to address some of that that unfortunately was not passed. And so when you don't have an auditor looking at somebody's treatment modality, are they getting better, et cetera? It's very difficult to be able to tell if the care system is consistently high quality. It's hard out there. We have a lot of work to do.
Indeed, and and we haven't even addressed the elephant in the room, which is, even if we were doing it right, is there the money to do it? And I do want to talk about that. But you did say that the stigmatism has lessened somewhat, and because I know in times when we've talked in past years, that has it's been hard to get people to even want to go to treatment. That's better, but are there, are there enough places?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Is there
And
enough care?
how, right. So we're inviting people. We're saying, be honest, be authentic, be open. And then people do, and there isn't always a connection to care. I think that the social stigma has reduced. People feel more comfortable talking about it. Now, Craig, it depends too, like culturally. We have to make sure that we are understanding that not all cultures are as open and accepting of mental health and certainly don't want it broadcast for them and their family. But the systemic stigma, the reason why we're still here is because our systems have really demonstrated their lack of care. Their lack of deep investment in care in people who are living with serious mental illnesses and otherwise.
Let's talk about some progress that has been made here in Chicago, but I'm not sure we can measure it yet. Is it too early to tell if Chicago's steps down the what's been called the treatment not trauma road are sure-footed? And for those who haven't been listening to every one of these programs, it's we've talked about it a number of times, but it's a program that's meant to send mental health professionals to help people having a mental health crisis and not the police. So at some point in the past, these things have been all but criminalized. How are we doing as we move down that road? And there are programs and there are efforts.
So yeah, I am unfamiliar with the impact of that particular program. We haven't seen, any 911 data. I think it's a pretty significant step that our city has maneuvered and provided a different opportunity for somebody who needs an immediate assistance. I can speak from our program that we do, where we get direct referrals from the Chicago Police Department, and then we provide immediate case management and support to families. And what we've noticed in our program is there is a great reduction of use of 911 as kind of the intake system. What we've also noticed in this work is that parents and family members, loved ones, require a tremendous amount of support, almost in equalness or in likeness to the individual who's struggling, who is experiencing houselessness and psychosis and dependency on drugs and alcohol, perhaps. So we do a lot of that work, but we still, what we notice, Craig, over and over again, and I see this nationally too, is there's really not a system of care. And I know I keep coming back to this, but there's really not a system of care for a particular population of folks who are uninterested themselves in seeking services. And so a lot of the police responses are people who are, utilizing the system at a high rate because there's no other intervention point at that point outside of the emergency departments. And so we'd really like to push the system to think a little bit more outside of the medical model. How can we create, palliative care, almost like a hospice-like care where there's shared agreements between individual and family about being able to live comfortably? And maybe that is outside, but can we do it in a way that's humane? So in terms of are these interventions making a difference? I don't think we know that yet in terms of mobile crisis response, but I do know that it's definitely pushing the needle forward in terms of reducing the use of the most expensive and the most intensive interventions that we had historically been doing.
And I think what little I have been able to glean from the statistics, I think you'll probably find hopeful. The last time we checked, there hadn't been any incidents under Chicago's new program where people were killed or actually even hurt. And that was the old system was police responding. And you and I have talked about this in the past of how wrong that can go, especially with officers who aren't really trained in this. It's not their fault. Some get the training, but they're not counselors. But so far, it has been people, professionals sent out, and when they are there, it's resolved without violence and without much trauma. So that's good to hear. But what is the most improvement that is needed? Is it simply more money? And I mean this in the overall system. I mean, we were talking about that there needs to be more care that is more like, if not a family oriented, but what's the thing that a legislature or a group of hospitals could do that could make a difference?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's certainly a lot, and we saw a lot of these efforts in Springfield this session. A lot of incredibly strong legislative advocates and champions. What we really want to see is housing reform. Part of the reasons that a lot of folks lose their grounding and their connection is because they don't have adequate affordable housing, they don't have safe housing, or they have no housing at all. And poverty is a significant predictor. And it's also makes things very complicated for folks who are already at a high stress rate with their children. I think that we need to create systems that really don't have as many barriers. I mean, it just should be easy. If we can have a no barrier space for people, that's what we think of our helpline. We don't toggle people through press one, press two, here you go. We're available every single day. It's free, it's confidential, we have no time limit. And what we do is broker, help people kind of understand what services they are motivated to engage with. So, and making sure that those services are readily available for folks. I think hospitals are trying to really think about, in terms of their psychiatric care, how they can think about their emergency departments in a different way. But hospitals are in trouble right now. I mean, we're going to lose Medicaid, and that is the safety net for a lot of these systems. And so to ask them directly to invest in a different approach, I think is complicated and probably unfair. So fighting for Medicaid would be great. Thinking about what other diversified funding sources we can get. For example, there was a bill this session that would allow us to fund the
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The 988 program, the suicide prevention hotline, through like a telecom tax. And it didn't pass. And, you know, those are the things that we really need to start thinking about and maybe depending less on the federal government for funding when that has been under such threat.
And finally, let's establish that the new 988 crisis lifeline, NAMI is directly involved in that, is it not?
We are. We're like such proud partners. We're one of the call centers for the county. The hotline used to be like this national switchboard that kind of anybody would pick up who was available. So I could be calling in Chicago and like Nashville if somebody would pick up. They moved it to a very hyper-local model, which is appropriate for all health interventions. And so we have the overnight hours. Back to your point about intervention with police, less than 1% of our calls to 988, which has been in operation for over a year, have resulted in any type of 911 intervention or police intervention. So what that tells us is that we can actually do a ton of work over the phone, hearing people, seeing them, de-escalating together, creating safety plans to keep them safe, and also keep them within environments that make them feel safe. So we see a lot of promise with this program, and we're so proud to be a part of the network.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore, and we've just heard from Alexa James, Executive Director of NAMI Chicago. Now we're going to focus on how people in crisis or not can access the care or the help that they need. For that, we turn to Ali Lichterman with the Illinois Department of Human Services. They're the agency that runs the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline and more. Ms. Lichterman is the Administrator of Crisis Community Programs in the IDHS Division of Mental Health. And boy, is that a mouthful. Appropriate for this discussion, I believe she was also the co-lead of the City of Chicago's working group that developed Chicago's campaign for its Treatment Not Trauma program. So, Ali Lichterman, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we should start by making sure that people understand what 988 is, besides just a number that you can dial. And there is an advertising campaign that I think if people, especially walking in like Union Station, can see ads, but I'm not sure it's made it into the public lexicon yet. So bring us up to speed on 988.
Yeah, thank you for having me and for that question. So the 988 Lifeline offers 24/7 confidential support over phone, chat, or text for individuals experiencing thoughts of suicide, emotional distress, or substance use issues. And it connects them with trained crisis workers who can provide immediate help and guide them to appropriate resources. You just have to dial, text, or chat 988. And you can learn more by visiting 988lifeline.org.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Now, it can be hard for people to talk to other people when they're in crisis and even when they're not. We're talking about people handling folks in crisis, talking about deeply personal things. What's the kind of training that the people who are on the other end of that line have to be able to do that?
Yeah, it can certainly be difficult to talk to someone about deeply personal topics, especially someone new, someone you don't know, which is why 988 crisis counselors receive extensive training and keep every call confidential. You are not required to share your name or any other identifying information. All of our crisis workers receive training in active listening, crisis intervention, de-escalation techniques, suicide prevention, coping skills, and more before they begin answering any calls and then continue receiving ongoing training as they take on the role. And we recruit in many ways, including directly from colleges and other employers, to make sure we get people with the right experience before we even begin that training.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. When you're looking for people in recruiting in colleges, what are the things that you're looking for that would tell you, okay, this person could handle it?
Yeah, I think the beauty of the 988 training is that you need to come into it with a desire to help people, and that ability to stay calm and help others navigate crisis. But our training is so extensive that you don't need a lot of background to learn how to do this. We provide that training and then continued assistance to make sure that every caller is getting that high level of confidential de-escalatory care.
Now, what is, in, for lack of a better phrase, behind that hotline? In other words, once a person has made the contact, has talked to someone, and spilled their guts about how they're feeling, what's the next step?
For sure. So our 988 call takers are able to both help over the phone and help callers figure out that next step. Over 90% of callers are able to have their call resolved just over the phone with the call taker, either through that conversation or the referrals that they're given. And behind the call line, we have a full continuum of care, just like we would have for physical health crises. So we have, again, 988, that 24/7 confidential support over phone, chat, or text, both for those experiencing a mental or behavioral health challenge and for their loved ones. Then we have Beacon, which is a confidential online portal that helps families access youth mental health services, reduces stigma, and offers resources in that area. And that's all available at beacon.illinois.gov. If you need in-person resources where you are, we have mobile crisis response teams, which are teams of trained mental health professionals who can travel to the individual in crisis and provide on-site community-based support. And they are available statewide 24/7. And this is separate from hospitalization or police intervention, and you can reach them through 988. And finally, we have living room programs, which are 24/7 voluntary home-like spaces for individuals in crisis that focus on de-escalating the current crisis, wellness strategies, and reducing reliance on psychiatric hospitalizations. So an individual can just show up at a living room, and the folks running the living room meet you where you're at and meet you where you are with your own crisis definition. And you can learn more about where those programs are at dhs.illinois.gov, as well as all the rest of the programs I listed.
Do you have a sense of if either how many or what percentage of calls do involve mobilizing or alerting a mobile team to go out? I don't know how frequent or how infrequent that might be.
Yeah, thanks for the question. So our mobile teams are definitely out in the community supporting people and people who walk into their buildings. But our 988 crisis counselors do a great job and do not have to send mobile crisis out very often. Over 90% of our calls are de-escalated over the phone, meaning the crisis counselor is able to support the caller without needing to send an in-person response or connecting with 911. And 90% of our calls are answered by a crisis counselor in Illinois, which exceeds our national goal. Those other ones are answered, but they go to a national backup. And since the service began, we have answered over 350,000 calls from Illinoisans, and the service is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
And let's talk about, because the model envisions people who are in crisis calling, making the call themselves. But what if it's, what if you're a family member who knows that their child, their spouse is in crisis and doesn't know what to do? Is this, is 988 also a resource for people who are in that, you know, they're not the ones calling for a friend, I suppose, would be the phrase. Is this also something that can be done with 988?
Yeah, thank you so much for that question and really appreciate that you brought this up. We know that supporting individuals in mental or behavioral health crisis can be difficult, both trying to care for your own mental health through that process and even knowing where to start. And 988 is always a great place to start. It's here to support caretakers both for their own mental health and well-being and also as they figure out how to navigate and find the right resources for their loved one. Anyone who calls 988 will receive assistance. You don't have to be the person in crisis. You can receive referrals for support in your area, a listening ear, and guidance on coping skills. 988 also has specific helplines for veterans, LGBTQIA individuals, and Spanish speakers, and anyone who needs support in a different language. We do have a language line available to make sure that we're really reaching anyone who needs, regardless of the identities they hold.
And when you say a language line, is that, in other words, it would be a call that you would add a translator to the call?
Yes, thank you for that. A language line means that we add a translator to the call to make sure that there is someone on the line who can help with that translation.
Now, let's talk about some of the you've touched on some of the resources that are available. Can you give us a sense of how broad that reach can be?
Yeah, for sure. The reach of the resources we're discussing are quite broad. Access to mental health services, we believe at the Department of Human Services, is not a privilege. It's a right for everyone, no matter your background, location, or circumstances. We are dedicated to making mental health and substance use treatment equitable and accessible for all, regardless of where you live in the state. So we've built up and continue to support a full continuum of mental health resources for residents, full stop, no matter where you are. Our 988 teams, our mobile crisis teams, Beacon, that portal for helping navigate family and youth services, and our living rooms are spread all across the state. These are also just the state-supported options. There are also private options that you can learn about. And to find resources near you, you can call, text, or chat 988 or visit beacon.illinois.gov and be guided through what's nearest you and how to access it.
And I understand you also have some services that would relate to people who are veterans or just regular service members. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we have for service members, veterans, and their families a line specifically to support their needs around mental and behavioral health crisis because we know they're specific. So you can call 988 and press 1 or text 838-255 to reach the Military and Veterans Crisis Line, which is a free, confidential 24/7 resource, like everything attached to 988. There's also free online suicide prevention training available for anyone who supports or serves service members, veterans, and their families through the Governor's Challenge Program. And you can also find more information about that at dhs.illinois.gov or just by searching Illinois Governor's Challenge in any search engine, and all that information about the training should pop up.
What are the differences between dealing with everyday people who are in crisis and someone who might be a veteran?
Thank you for the question. Yeah, so I think it depends on the individual, the service member, the veteran, the family member. But with all of our lines meant for specific populations, we just know that that is a very unique experience, and it helps speaking with someone who is specifically trained to understand that experience or themselves might have gone through that or share the identity that you share. And it just makes it easier to talk to someone. Like we were talking about before, it can be difficult to open up to someone new about something so personal. And so knowing that they have training specifically in that area or have experienced something similar to you can make it easier and ensure you get the right resources at the right time.
And to what extent is the system, the network, able to deal with what I would think of as kind of cascading needs? Because one of the things that we talked about earlier in this program with Alexa James was that they are finding that when they are dealing with someone who is in crisis and they end up dealing with the family, it turns out that the family needs almost as much, if not as much, care and assistance as the person who initially was considered the subject or the patient. How does that fit into this model?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. We certainly need to make sure that we are not just thinking about the person in crisis, but the whole network around them and what it really takes to help get someone the right resources, not just from us, but from their loved ones. So we need to make sure that at every piece of our crisis continuum, it's accessible not just for the person in crisis, but also for those helping them, both for their own well-being and making sure they know how to provide support. So again, when you call 988, you can receive support and services, both learning how to further help your loved one or for yourself, even if you're not the person directly facing the mental or behavioral health challenge. And you can come to any of our living rooms or our other facilities with your loved one. It doesn't mean they're necessarily going to serve you, but they'll also speak with you about what's going on and what the next steps are. And 988, I think, is really the best place to start in terms of figuring out what resources are available broadly for your loved one and you for mental health and beyond.
And speaking of making things broader, let's not keep this, Chicago and Chicago area centric. This is a statewide effort. But how are you also being able to deal with people in rural areas?
Yeah, it's certainly important to ensure that our crisis services reach rural areas and other underserved communities. Every Illinoisan should have access to mental and behavioral health resources. It should not matter where you live, which is why we support services around the state.
Well, thank you for that. And thank you for everything for this part of the show. That is Allie Lichterman. She is Crisis Community Programs Administrator with the Illinois Department of Human Services. My thanks as well to Alexa James, Director of NAMI Chicago. To our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website. That's WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage, and you can also find our podcasts on Odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm political editor Craig Dellamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.